This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 16th, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item is item number 5. What is this? Oh, okay. So, item number 5 has been withdrawn?
No. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right, all right. Item number 5, no, I meant from the agenda per se, not from ever. Another item that relates to it that is no longer on. All right, item number 5 is proposed directive 74 on the timely resolution of enforcement matters. This is a directive proposed by Commissioner Weintraub. Commissioner Weintraub, would you like to speak to this matter?
I would. I was hoping that we would be in a position today to actually vote on a new proposed directive. We are not, sadly, in that place. Despite many, many very cordial conversations that the Vice Chairman and I have had on this topic, the word nag does spring to mind yet again. I originally proposed this to my colleagues back in May. It's been a couple of months. The topic is timeliness, so I think it would be good if we could timely consider this. I have received last week a counterproposal from my colleagues. I had suggested to them that they might want to make that public so we could discuss the relative merits, and they thought it was premature to do so. I'm going to respect that, and I'm not going to, as I indicated to the Vice Chairman earlier today, I'm not going to try and out anybody's proposal that they're not ready to talk about publicly. But I am just going to take a few minutes to talk again about how important I think this is and why I think it's important that we try and reach some kind of agreement. I'm glad we've got more meetings scheduled. That's going to help, but it's not going to solve the problem that I see. Back in the day, for most of the commission's existence, actually, commissioners voted on ballots that were presented to us by the general counsel's office on a 72-hour tally. There was actually a period of time when the commission voted on 48-hour tally. And those were substantive votes. And sometimes there were objections, obviously, and they were put on an agenda for discussion amongst all the commissioners. And when that happened, that discussion usually took place within a couple of weeks, sometimes within a matter of days. So commissioners were not holding up the works. Commissioners were acting fairly expeditiously on the recommendations that were put to us by the Office of General Counsel. And we have, I think, fallen into some very different habits and not productive ones, where matters now routinely sit on commissioners' desks for months and sometimes years without that initial substantive thumbs up, thumbs down decision on the recommendation of the Office of General Counsel. And that really does a disservice to really everybody involved in this process. It's not good for respondents when they have an allegation hanging over their head and they want to clear their reputation or get right with the law, whichever result happens to be the result. I mean, there are many, many cases. People always talk about the disagreements. There are many cases that the commission unanimously dismisses. And we owe it to respondents to do that on a timely basis so they can get on with their lives and not have it hanging over their heads. Similarly, for complainants, they file complaints. They want to know what happened to it, and it sits here for years, and it's like disappearing into a black hole if they are. And more and more, we're actually starting to see complainants who don't wait to see what we're going to decide. They just decide it's taking too long, and they file suit under what we used to call A8 suits. I'm not even sure what the citation is anymore, since they changed all the citations around. As is their right under the law to try and get some resolution and figure out what the end result of their complaint is. The public is disturbed when we take too long to act on these matters. Elections come and go, and sometimes on the same candidates, and they still don't know whether this, what to think about the allegations that may be out there about somebody that the candidate may or may not have violated the law. Somebody said they did, but the FEC hasn't resolved the matter. That's unfair to them, and this is, shouldn't be a partisan issue. Cleta Mitchell, well-regarded conservative Republican election lawyer, was quoted recently in the press saying, "I wish the FEC could figure out a way to move things faster." And I completely agree with her. We really have got to do this better. The folks who may be who are also very strongly impaired by this are all the folks out there who are trying to comply with the rules and trying to consult with their lawyers and trying to engage in political activities, and they know that somebody did something last cycle or the cycle before, and somebody else said that it might or might not have been legal, and they go to their lawyers and they say, "Well, can I do that? Is that legal or isn't it?" And lawyers really don't know what to say. They say, "Well, I can give you my best guess, but I can't actually tell you what the commission has determined because they haven't made a determination yet." So it really disadvantages all the people out there who are trying to engage in political activities and do so in a lawful way. It disadvantages respondents. It disadvantages complainants. It disadvantages the public. It disadvantages folks who just want to get on with their lives. And we have a case in front of us that we looked at recently. Somebody got caught up in the administrative fines program. And the treasurer said, "I'm just trying to close down this commission, this committee. I don't want to keep filing reports. I want to close it down, terminate it, and be done." And they can't close it down because there's a complaint pending, and we haven't resolved the complaint yet. It is sitting on our desk. There are over 70 matters sitting on our desk, some of them, as I said, for quite a long time. So I had proposed that we give ourselves some deadlines, that we give ourselves generally a six-month deadline from the time something hits our desk to make that decision. And I didn't actually think that 6 months was that aggressive a pace for us to try and commit to, considering that, as I said, the commission in the past had made decisions like this within 72 hours. And if you compare it to the kind of decision-making that has to go on in the private sector when people are trying to advise clients, and some of us have been in that situation, trying to advise clients, they come to you and they say, "You know, I want to run an ad tonight. I need to know what my disclosure obligations are going to be. I need to know what my disclaimer obligations are going to be. I need to know whether this is okay to do." And you got to tell them then and there. You can't say to a client, "Well, I'll have to take that under consideration. I'll get back to you in about 6 months or so, maybe a year, maybe 2 years, maybe 3 years." You can't function that way out in the real world. And we should hold ourselves to higher standards. For those of us who may be contemplating going back into private practice someday, Commissioner Goodman, I don't want you to go out there with the reputation of somebody who can't make up his mind in under 6 months, who's not willing to make that kind of commitment. You know, if your client came to you and you said, "I tell you in 6 months," they'd say, "See you later, buddy. I'll find another lawyer," right? I mean, you can't. Other people don't make decisions on this kind of a time frame, and we shouldn't either. So at this point, I have not gotten buy-in on my six-month plan. We are continuing to discuss, but I would urge my colleagues to actually think hard about the six-month plan and think about whether that's really an unreasonable time frame for us to under which for us to do our business. Because I really do think that we are this is one of our fundamental responsibilities. You know, getting all this great information up on the web, as we did today with all the information that came pouring in last night. And I want to throw a shout out and thank you to all of the analysts and IT folks who were manning the phones as people were trying to get those reports in at the last minute and stayed late to do so. That's one of our core functions, to make sure we get that information out there. But civil enforcement of the law is also one of our core functions, and it is not one that can be delegated to anybody else. Congress can't do it. The Justice Department can't do it. There's nobody else who can make these decisions besides us. And we really need to earn our keep. We need to earn the salary that the taxpayers pay us and roll up our sleeves and maybe work a little harder. And what I'm trying to do is to get buy-in from my colleagues and get us all to commit to doing a better, faster job and commit to some timelines to do so. Because we can all say, and we all do say, of course, we want timely enforcement of the law. We want to do a better job. But I think the purpose of the directive is to try and get some really hard commitments on the table. So I will continue to work with my colleagues in hopes that we can get to yes on this or on something like this. Again, given that it's about timeliness, I don't think we should take too much time, but maybe by September we can give ourselves that deadline for coming to resolution on this, for trying to nail down that that agreement. And I want to appreciate very much the patience of the vice chairman, who I've been primarily dealing with on this, and somewhat relentlessly. And I look forward to further, hopefully, productive discussions.
Mr. Vice Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me first of all say that I agree with much of what my colleague, Commissioner Weintraub, has said. I think that as this issue's been kind of teed up and brought back to the forefront, I think it's increased the sensitivity level that when we're carrying out our responsibilities, that in reaching a fair result, that it's not only trying to reach what each of us think is the right result. And there are a lot of difficult and complex and novel questions that come before us. And some of them are thorny, that take take a lot of thinking about to arrive at what each of us think is the correct conclusion. But that needs to also be, that consideration also has to be paired with a timeliness consideration for the reasons that you mentioned. Respondents and complainants alike both need closure of one sort or another on their matter in as soon a time as possible. And the public and the regulated community need clarity and guidance. The enforcement process does flesh out the statutory and regulatory scheme. It provides further understanding, and to the extent we can get that out sooner rather than later, that benefits everybody involved in the process that we oversee and regulate. And so I agree that we need to do that. And I think that that's why the discussions that we've had, and I know that we have another agenda item that's going to address this, I think has been very productive to resensitize us to that concern, which is very legitimate, and that we always remember that that timeliness needs to be paired with our efforts to reach the optimal result. In most cases, those two considerations aren't in tension, and especially in those cases, there's no question that that we should resolve those and be able to make a public disposition of those as quickly as possible. The discussion, the heart of the discussion right now is for the subset of cases that where there is some tension between timeliness or timeliness that we would normally strive for and reaching the right result. We've mentioned before that there are, categories of cases that may require some additional time, whether it's because you have the same respondent who's involved in a number of different complaints, you have different complaints that involve a similar issue, whether there's a outstanding legal case that speaks to issues that are at the heart of a matter that's before us and that we may be getting further court guidance. And so what the heart of the discussion is right now is how can we accommodate that and build that into our process without that swallowing the rule. And I know that that's the concern of my colleague, and that's what I think we need to, and that's what we're trying to figure out is we don't want an exception to swallow the rule, so that notwithstanding whatever timeliness demands may be in other parts of a directive, that it can, that they're meaningless because they're so easily set aside. And I agree that that we don't want to make it easy on ourselves to prolong the time by which we consider these matters. So I look forward to continuing those discussions as well, and hope that we can reach a result soon, because I think that obviously the ultimate guarantor of moving quickly is just a recommitment from each of us to move quicker. And I think that certainly adding more dates is going to help us, process more matters. But I understand my colleague's concern that we also, it's nice to have a backstop to prevent the possibility of getting into bad habits, and that a directive could help us do that. So I look forward to continuing the discussions that we've had so far on this matter.
I'm not part of your discussions, but I do want to weigh in a little bit on this issue. And I have to say, Mr. Vice Chair, as always, your statements about this matter are thoughtful and well considered. And I agree with everything that you said. And I certainly understand that you can't have a hard and fast rule because of the realities of complexity and of some of the factors that you discussed. But those factors, I do believe, need to be addressed in the most narrow fashion possible. I mean, I know you're talking about the exceptions swallowing the rule, but I think that there are ways to look at each one of those factors that are totally good and appropriate ones, but that we have to make sure in whatever we write in those exceptions to identify, based on our experience, those things that truly require that kind of extension of time to be able to consider and make a ultimately thoughtful decision, because that's what we all want. We don't want to be hurried up to be making decisions on a particular timeline without any ability to think through the complicated questions. So I'm totally in agreement with that, but I do worry about ensuring that we have some ability to kind of force one another when we want to languish to actually, and that's not, I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying, as a general rule, there's a tendency to kind of do that, and I think we need a little bit of, having tried to force people not to languish this year, and I'm sure you'll have that opportunity next year as well, and I'm sure Commissioner Goodman had that opportunity last year. I think, we need to be cognizant of the importance of what we're doing. Okay.
I expect to bring this back up again.
Thank you. All right.